Picture it, 1972. You're a young director. You've already won an Academy Award as a screenwriter for the film Patton, about George Patton. You are approached to direct a film based on the book by Mario Puzo, The Godfather. The Godfather is an iconic film, followed by The Godfather 2. The Godfather 3, we're not going to really discuss it. With The Godfather, you had some up-and-comers. Al Pacino, Diane Keaton, James Caan, Robert Duvall, Talia Shire, John Cazale, Morgana King, and a few others. And of course, you had Abe Bogota playing Tessio, Richard S. Castellano playing Clemenza. I'm talking about The Godfather. And I'm talking about, you know, you had Al Pacino as Michael Corleone, Marlon Brando as Vito Corleone, Diane Keaton, Kay Adams Corleone, James Caan, Sonny Corleone. I feel like I'm taking role in class. Robert Duvall, Tom Hagen, Talia Shire, Connie Corleone, John Cazale, Fredo Corleone. I knew it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. So many quote. Okay, we often, as a society, this film, everyone takes from it. Everyone. Remember? I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. The horse head in the bag. Okay? What's another one? It's synonymous. You know, we're always reciting this film. It is an iconic film. And the backstory behind it is very interesting because originally they didn't want Marlon Brando. Okay? Originally, they wanted Laurence Olivier, and he even campaigned for it. But Brando, because Brando had become impossible, he was living in Tahiti, you know, to get him to do a film. You ask Francis Ford Coppola, because he did it twice, you know, Godfather. They tried to get him for Godfather 2 and he wouldn't do it. And Apocalypse Now. And at a later date, we're going to talk about Apocalypse Now. I'm your host, Dr. Zeus, by the way. This is Classic Films and Dark Humor. There is a lot of dark humor or humor with The Godfather. The fact that Marlon Brando, when it came to learning his lines, he just relied on billboards. This is true. They had his lines put on this billboard so that he could look up, when he looked up a lot, and he's in a scene with either James Caan or Al Pacino. I never wanted this for you. You know, things like that. The Godfather saga is iconic. I wouldn't recommend watching it with kids in the room. I know a few people who have. I remember being a teenager. Or no, I was probably 10 or 11, close. And we would all play outside. And one time I came in and my mom took a video cassette out of the VCR. I thought, what you doing? Oh, I'll watch it later. And it was this white video cassette. She was watching The Godfather. I had no idea. So it was not for our viewing until we got older. And of course, the controversy. The film, you know, okay, mob violence and all this. Frank Sinatra, in a way, denounced the film because supposedly, it is based on... There's a character in there, Johnny Mercer, who is a singer. And he goes to, you know, Vito Corleone and says, I want this part in this picture and this director won't give it to me. And he's crying, you know, we've all seen this film. If you haven't, you need to watch it. And he's like, oh, Godfather, I don't know what I'm going to do. You can act like a man. What's the matter with you? Is this how you go to Hollywood? Cry like a woman? I'm going to make him an offer. He can't refuse. I'm tripping on that line. So much historical significance with The Godfather. It went on to win Best Picture. Didn't win Best Director for Francis Ford Coppola. That was the year of Godfather and Cabaret. And then in 1974, The Godfather 2 won Best Picture, Best Director, I mean, a whole slew of awards. And it was the first, it is in the first and only film where two films, you know, the sequel and the original win Best Picture. That has never happened since. And then, of course, the third film, which was nominated for a bunch of awards and thankfully didn't win because it was piece of you know what. Al Pacino, The Godfather basically made Al Pacino a household name. He didn't get that Oscar until years later for Scent of a Woman. Chuha! And no, I don't think so. It was more so a consolation prize because it's like, well, we didn't give it to him for playing Vito Corleone. Michael Corleone. I'm not going to go and fix this. Sometimes it's good to leave this stuff in because you know, you're going off the by chance. It's live, people. Michael Corleone originally was this clean-cut guy going to college, war veteran. Was never going to be the Don, okay? And Sonny was the Don. Well, according to the father, if you remember, may Santino bad Don, may he rest in peace. And he was a bad Don. He was so hot-headed, and he went and got into a fight, and the shootout, yeah. And so thus, Michael became the new Don. They wanted retribution against the people that had killed Sonny. And so Michael was elected to do it. And, you know, Vito was like, I never wanted this for you. And all that stuff. You know, it's iconic. I mean, you got Marlon Brando, Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall, what was interesting about him was, is that his character wasn't Italian. He was not a family member, but he was like an adopted family member because he didn't have any family. And so they took him in. He became their lawyer. So many things synonymous. First of all, it was controversial because Italian Americans were getting tired of being portrayed as gangsters, mobsters, but it became American cinema because it also had the element of, you know, in the second one, seeing how he comes to this country from Corleone, Italy, and, you know, makes his way in New York City, makes a name for himself. And so it's about that American dream, about immigrants in these crazy times. If you're an immigrant, more power to you. And I'm sorry that this administration tries to paint you as a pariah. Oh, he's not doing it legally. You know how many people came to this country illegally before there was even a law? The Native Americans crossed the isthmus, the land bridge connecting Alaska and Mongolia. And so here we are. Well, did they come over here legally? No, because there was no law. Okay. Back to The Godfather. This film, really, it's got controversy. It's got history, romance. And then we arrive at the 1973 Oscars. Marlon Brando is nominated for playing Vito Corleone. When Marlon Brando died, he was remembered mainly for playing Vito Corleone. Yes, for On the Waterfront, but Vito Corleone took on such a mythological status for Marlon Brando because of the fact he refused the Oscar. He sent Sasheen Littlefeather to the Academy Awards. The envelope was opened. I think it was Roger Moore and Liv Ullmann. The winner is announced. Marlon Brando in The Godfather. Sasheen Littlefeather goes up. She says, Marlon Brando must refuse this award. And she starts to read from this letter because of the treatment of Native Americans. And I don't think he ever got the Oscar. But the fact that he refused it, this is his most iconic role. And says something right there. Where he was going as a thespian, you know? Say that thing three times twice. Thespian. So, yes. And I had planned to do this the other day. I said, I want to talk about The Godfather. I was hoping to have some guests on so that we could talk about our memories of The Godfather, our impressions of The Godfather, and how it is at the whole of the core, it is about family and the BS that's within the family. I mean, you look at Sonny would always kind of criticize Michael because Michael did not want to be a Don. And, you know, he ended up becoming the Don. They would always say, he's the college boy. He's the war veteran, you know. And of course, what happened to Fredo? I can't tell you what happened to Fredo because you need to watch the movies. If you've seen the movies, you know what happens to Fredo. And how messed up it is. And, you know, I knew it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. That is in the second one. So you have this cast of characters, many, many unknowns. You have a known, you have Marlon Brando, who has basically been written off as damaged goods. And they all just, shit, damn it. What was that? I heard like a pop. Anyway, so they all descend upon this film. Okay, I'm scared now. Okay, so I'm going to use the external microphone here. All right, so they all descend upon this film called The Godfather. Let's see if I can turn this up. There we go. All right. There we go. I don't want it to pop in my face. So they all descend upon this film called The Godfather with their director, Francis Ford Coppola. Now, Francis Ford, I'm going to switch right now. Okay. Take this one out. Now, Francis Ford Coppola had a very interesting history. And I'm going to sit like, how do I do this? Francis Ford Coppola was originally a screenwriter, and he had directed an independent film, and he was part of this new age of directors. It was the 70s. You had him followed by Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, and an up-and-comer named George Lucas. And George Lucas and Francis Ford Coppola were very good friends. You know, Francis Ford Coppola had moved to California and had his ranch over in Napa. And George Lucas was originally from Modesto, California. If you don't know where Modesto, California is, unfortunately, it has become synonymous with Lacey Peterson. And there was an intern from Washington, Gary Condit, and Chandra Levy. And, you know, unfortunately, Modesto has become synonymous with that. But what happened was, and I'm going to shoot like this. So what happened was, is that George Lucas came from this, you know, farm family and had wanted to go into films. So he goes into films. He was originally also a car person. And I guess he had gotten injured in some kind of a drag race. And so he decided to become a filmmaker. And it was around this time that he goes to, you know, the Bay Area, and he meets Francis Ford Coppola. In fact, Francis Ford Coppola produced, helped get the money for American Graffiti. So they all know each other. And they also know Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese. And it came to full circle in 2007. When Martin Scorsese was up for Best Director for The Departed. So Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg,
and George Lucas all were at the stage to give out the best director. And some people, I think, knew. And they named off all the directors, and then they opened the envelope. And Martin Scorsese, at that point, had never won. They open it, and they say, Martin Scorsese. And people just went wild because they all knew one another. Because in the 1970s, like the 1930s, Hollywood was basically a community. And the 1970s, Hollywood basically remixed itself. I'm using a term from today, remixed. And this has to do with The Godfather in a big, big way. Because you look at the violence, you look at the language, you look at the situations in The Godfather, okay? And in the studio era, you could not do that. An example of the crime films, you look at something like the original Scarface. It's violent, but it's not nearly as violent because of the language, the subject matter. Due to the Hays Code, you could not do that. You could not say certain things in your films. You could not show certain things. Nudity, language. So toward the end of the 1960s, the studio system died. So you had all of these films like Midnight Cowboy, Rosemary's Baby, Bonnie and Clyde that were playing with language, situations. And in 1972, here came The Godfather. The Godfather was the big meatball of violence, situations, and language. Godfather 2 was two meatballs. And Francis Ford Coppola, as a director, became synonymous with these epics, these large, gigantic, epic movies, okay? Okay, see, if I speak into it like that, you can kind of hear a little better. So with The Godfather, he gave us this, you know, three-part epic masterpiece of family. And what happens to the family? What happens when there is lies, deceit, when the family knows that they are part of the mob and the other members of the family are closed off, literally are closed off? That famous moment where Kay Corleone is looking over at Michael and the door shuts and you see the guy kissing his ring. Okay. Yeah. Because that she's not a part of that world. And that's what The Godfather is about. The family and the secrets within the family. And then what's interesting about part two is that I always wanted it to stay in the past in part two because I enjoyed seeing Robert De Niro playing a very young Vito Corleone. In fact, Robert De Niro won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for playing the young Vito Corleone. Al Pacino never won. Taliesin never won. John Cazale, I don't even think, was nominated. Sadly enough, John Cazale died in the 1970s. And, you know, Fredo's character, we're not going to go into that because I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not going to play the music because that's copyright. And here on Anchor, they don't allow that. But I'm just going to talk about The Godfather. I may do another one where I gather some people together and we talk about what we take from this film. From what I took from it was about family, the secrets in family, immigrants. My great grandparents and my grandparents were immigrants. And, you know, how we assimilate into this new society. How do we keep our family values? How do we also keep values from the old country, okay? Because you look at a lot of what was going on in The Godfather was also going, not just New York, but was also still going on in Italy. And that is why Vito Corleone escaped, is because his mother had been murdered in front of him. He was the only male child heir. His brothers had all been murdered. So there was, you know, they wanted to take him out. And I think it was Don Cheech. And later on, and I'll tell you this, Vito takes retribution on Don Cheech, and it is rightfully so. And also affront. Whenever you have films about violence, when you have organized crime, there is always affront. just like with Weeds, when her front was like this restaurant. With The Godfather, the front was the olive oil business. Corleone was big in olive oil, and then it just spread out to other things, and he became known as Don Corleone. And the second film highlights more of that. The first film is more so about Michael's ascension into the role of the Don and how the family kind of is fractured after Vito Corleone, he gets sick. And I won't spoil that for you either. But you have to watch the film. It is an iconic film about family, about secrets, about crime, about immigration, about everything that brings us together and tears us apart. And it is an iconic film with some of the most iconic dialogue. To this day, people still recite that dialogue. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Look how they massacred my boy. Take the gun. Leave the gun. Take the cannolis, I think. I'd have to watch it again. You know, I'm only human, people. So, three-parter. And now I'm going to briefly talk about Godfather 3. Oh, God, I know. So Godfather 3 had so much controversy behind it. The first two films were iconic masterpieces. Third film comes out. You have Sofia Coppola. Originally, what happened was is that Francis Ford Coppola was going to cast Winona Ryder, from what it was being said around Hollywood, as the role of his daughter. Or not his daughter, as a role of Michael Corleone's daughter, all grown up. Well, that didn't happen. And so at the last minute, he cast his own daughter, Sofia Coppola, who was not really a great actress, and later on went to direct just like her father. She is now an award-winning director of Lost in Translation, Marie Antoinette, The Virgin Suicides. Francis Ford Coppola cast his own daughter. He had an array of other actors. Andy Garcia, he played Sonny's supposed illegitimate child. Diane Keaton returned to play Kay Adams. Her and Michael had divorced. Al Pacino was still playing Michael Corleone. Talia Shire was playing Connie. And all the kids were grown up. And it was not a good film. It was not a good film. And mainly because of Sofia Coppola's performance. And I was watching something years ago with Siskel and Ebert. And they were talking about how when she dies in that film, people clapped. And then I'm going to tell you she dies. You know, because it's if you want to watch it, you want to watch it. But it's, in my mind, it's not worth watching. So, but then you get to see something happens in Michael Corleone. Not really good or bad. And that's what happens. The lies within that family tear everyone apart. So I'm talking about The Godfather, 1972, 1974, 1990. Directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Produced. So the first one, because, you know, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about the people behind the scenes, okay? So The Godfather, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, produced by Albert S. Ruddy. I think he's still alive. Yeah, he is. Based on the book by Mario Puzo. And it was a family effort for Francis Ford Coppola. His father was doing the music, Carmine Coppola. Him, a young Sofia Coppola, plays the little baby that's being baptized. So, yeah, The Godfather. It's a family effort. Directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Starring a cast that was not known, and now they are known. They are all icons in their right. And it's one of those films that you have to prepare for. You can't just, let's go put it on. No, you know, you got to have dinner, you can have a little wine and watch The Godfather. So this has been classic films and dark humor. A little bit of the dark humor is that Marlon Brando You gotta imagine there are rumors going around recently by Richard Pryor's wife. I don't know who to believe, that Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor were having an affair during this time. So it was one big Godfather quaaludes. Can you just imagine that? I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. What? What kind of shit is that? I got you a quaalude, mother effer. So yeah, but we'll elaborate more on that next time. So thank you for being part of Classic Films and Dark Humor. If anything, if they were ever to make a satire of The Godfather, and in a way they did, it was called The Freshman with Marlon Brando. I hope you'd enjoyed this. Good night and good luck.